We do have battles.
Bring 120% every single time.
Everything's a work in progress.
Everybody on the team loves to play basketball. So.
Hi, welcome to the Vault Podcast, where we at the Georgetown Voice talk all about Georgetown basketball. My name is Senthil Merker, and I'm joined by Georgetown basketball experts Beth Cuniff.
Hey guys, what's up?
And Errol French.
Hey, how you doing?
So, we're going to jump right in to talk about our Georgetown basketball Hoyas, who are 15-10 and currently are 8th in the Big East at 5-9 in conference play. So, starting out, we're going to recap the last two games. Wins first at home over Seton Hall, a thrilling game, and then a win on the road at Butler in Hinkle Fieldhouse. So, starting out with you, Beth, who stood out to you in the Seton Hall game?
I mean, clearly Marcus. 22 points and 18 rebounds was just a monster of a game, and he did everything he needed to, including hitting the game-winning three with 5 seconds to play. Didn't hit the free throw to seal it, but ended up getting the win. He is peaking at the right time. He's coming out of his shell, playing exactly as he was projected to when he came in as a recruit. But also, DeMarco looks good. After struggling at the beginning of Big East play, he's really coming into his own. He looked really good against Seton Hall with 18 points as well.
Mm-hmm. Errol?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with what she said. Marcus looked very good. He's finally starting to come into his role. Like, I think he's finally starting to find his place just in our starting lineup, and like, he's really worked on what he's good at. And then DeMarco, Pat said at the beginning of the year, like, he's our starter. And so he's starting to play, I guess, how Pat wants him to. He's starting to shoot the ball with more confidence. And then he just seems to be attacking the hole a lot differently now with, like, a better attitude.
Yeah, it's certainly no coincidence that as DeMarco Pickett has expanded his game beyond just shooting threes, that the team has seen increased success. So moving on to the Butler game, also another thrilling game where Georgetown led for most of the game and then withstood a furious Butler Bulldog rally at the end. What stood out to you guys in that game as well?
I mean, Marcus as well. Marcus had 27 points. He shot 11 from 13 from the field. But I guess I would also say Javon and just the whole freshman crew, Javon and DeMarco, they really looked very good just in the game. They really hit their free throws down the stretch, mm-hmm. and they came up big, made some big possessions.
I would say, too, it was a big Jesse got back in the game. You know, after against Butler, against Seton Hall, he had 11 points, which, although that's good, that's a down game for him, but he came back with a double-double, 17 and 12. And, you know, sit out as the big, big man down in the post, which is what Pat wants from him.
Mm-hmm. What differences have you seen, perhaps it's too much to generalize from these last two games, but what key differences did you see in these last two games between that and other, like, late-game collapses that Georgetown has had throughout the season, whether it's against Syracuse, the first game at home against Butler, not boxing out on the final play. What changed, perhaps, in the Seton Hall and the Butler game that led them to pull those two games out? And is this a formula that the Hoyas can replicate going forward?
I mean, I think it's just composure, right? You know, against Xavier, for instance, Jagan fouled Trayvon Blewett on a three in the final seconds of the game, and that tied it and sent it to overtime. Georgetown could have won that game, like you said, with the Butler game. But I think staying composed, sticking to fundamentals, rebounding, hitting your free throws, hitting the big shots, they've been able to do it. And that's a key difference this year than from last year when they never were able to close out these games. It has been frustrating to see them time and time again lose the games at the last second, but now they're winning them.
Right.
I mean, their confidence is up. I think once they were able to, I think the Seton Hall game was kind of a turning point for them. They realized that they can really hold on down the stretch. Their confidence is up. They're able to share the ball. They're doing a lot more talking. I think if you look at how the Hoyas were playing earlier in the season, they were talking, but not as much as they are now. There's a lot more communication. There's a lot more, you know, every dead ball, they're getting in a huddle. They're talking about what they did wrong and what they can do better. Mm-hmm. You know, they're definitely showing a much more of like a team aspect, and they're really working together to make sure that, you know, there's scoring coming from all around the floor. Because mm-hmm. I think, you know, earlier in Big East play, we really struggled with trying to find people to complement Marcus and Jesse scoring. Mm-hmm. But now Marcus is taking the lead in scoring. Jesse's backing him up, as well as we're getting shots from Jamarco and Javon to fall. And then even most recently with Trey Dickerson playing. Like, mm-hmm. he's come on and he's been really strong for us. And so I think we're finally starting to find, you know, 3, 4, 5 people a night that can go and give us double-digit scoring. It doesn't have to be, you know, 20, 30 points. But if you're balancing out the scoring, it makes us that much more harder to guard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, quick note. Against Butler, Trey Dickerson absolutely broke out. First double-digit game as a Hoya, and you picked a great time for it. 7 for 8 from the field. Hit both of his three-point attempts, finished with 18 points, 3 assists off the bench. So moving on to some of the individual players on this Hoyas team, let's talk a little bit about Jesse. Do you think he's deserving of an All-Big East team? First team, second team, honorable mention. Do you think he makes it?
I mean, right now he's averaging a double-double, and how many players in the Big East can say that? He's got almost 17 points a game and 10 rebounds. He's just a monster down in the post, and he's had his ups and downs. You know, he scores 25 points, and then he scores 5 points. But I think if you look at him over the course of Big East play and over the course of the season in general, he has been the leader of this Hoyas team. He's been the one you get the ball to down low. He's the most consistent scorer. Marcus has been playing very well, but, you know, is now coming into his own, whereas Jesse has just been a force all year. And I think it's hard to look around the Big East and come up with 10 players that are better than him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would agree. Even games where Jesse is not going out giving us, you know, double-digit points, double-digit rebounds, he's still a piece that is very integral to our lineup. You know, he's making the passes. His basketball IQ is very high. Mm-hmm. And so he sees the court and he's creating shots for others. So, you know, he might not get credit for the assist, but he's getting credit for the hockey assist. Mm-hmm. So he's making that pass to set someone else up for the extra pass. So that's the way, you know, they go out and score. And so our lineup looks different when Jesse's on the floor. You know, like I said, he may not be going, you know, he may not be putting the ball through the net every time, but he's definitely there and he's helping his teammates, you know, create shots and get their points.
And just going off that, if he's getting double teamed, which he does a lot, that means someone's open. And so that's creating an opportunity for someone else on the floor to score.
Right. And when you have your shooters like Trey Dickerson, like Jamarco, and even Marcus hitting from outside, that certainly gives Jesse more space to operate. Moving on to the Hoyas' next game against Xavier this Wednesday at home at Capital One Arena. What chances do you see of an upset over the number 4 ranked Xavier Musketeers, whom the Hoyas took right down to the wire in their first matchup?
I see a similar game, hopefully with a different outcome. I can see if Georgetown is able to play like they've been playing recently, then Xavier is definitely going to have to work for the win. Like, it's not going to be a game where, you know, Xavier's going to beat us by 20, 30 points. It's going to be a game where Georgetown is going to play, and if their confidence is high and if they've played anywhere near the level that they're if they play against Xavier anywhere near the level that they played against Seton Hall and Butler, then Xavier should look out, because they, you know, Georgetown, like I said, has 4-plus scorers on the floor, and they can all put the ball through the hoop. Mm-hmm.
I will say, I think Georgetown played the best game that they have played all year up until the final seconds against Xavier. However, I think Xavier got complacent when they played us, and they played Butler again afterwards and won in overtime again, and then they got crushed by Villanova, and I think they're hungry now. Mm-hmm. And I think it is hard to beat a good team twice, and we almost did beat them. I don't know if we can beat them again. Mm-hmm. I think there's absolutely a chance for us to, or for Georgetown to. However, I don't know if Georgetown can get past the star power of Trayvon Blewett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what's going to be a good thing to look out for is the first 5 minutes of the first half and the first 8 or 9 minutes of the second half. Those are going to be really big to see how we come out of the game and then how we come out of halftime making any adjustments, because, you know, especially halftime adjustments come even more important if we're down at the half, to see what Pat goes in the locker room and what he draws up, and what, you know, if he makes any adjustments to the lineup coming out of the locker room, or if he comes out, you know, more of a press situation, whatever it is. I think those are going to be the two periods to really look for, because that is where, you know, if we're going to recapture the game, if it's away from us, that's where we're going to capture it. Or if we're going to build on any momentum that we have, that's where it's going to be done. And it's going to, you know, save us down the stretch from, you know, possibly blowing a lead.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. And I would add to that, the last 5 minutes of the game also are going to be very interesting to watch, especially given how Georgetown finished their last game against Xavier. How do you think the Hoyas match up with Xavier? For example, who do you think is going to guard Trayvon Blewett? Possible Big East Player of the Year candidate. Definitely first team lock.
For me, I would say Caleb Johnson. Caleb is, without a doubt, in my opinion, the best defender we have on our team. He's long. He's agile. He can get back on defense very quickly. And I think that is a matchup that I would feel confident putting Caleb in. He's pretty much guarded the best scorers on every team, either score number one or score number two on pretty much every team that we played this year. And he has especially come up clutch down the stretch and shut down some pretty defensive possessions. So I would look to see probably Caleb Johnson on him at first. And then depending on how that works, possibly going to Jagan Mosley. Mm-hmm. I think those are the two people that we put on him throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'd agree. I mean, Caleb's versatility as a guard and a forward is exactly for that reason. He can play on Trayvon Blewett, but he can play on someone bigger as well. I'll expect to see him starting the game on Blewett, and then if that doesn't work, I will expect Pat to make adjustments, as he usually does. But that would be how I started the game.
Yeah, I totally agree. It'll be interesting to see if the Hoyas try to attack Blewett on defense and make him work on defense, perhaps tire him out when he's on offense. That's certainly a strategy that has worked in the past. Looking ahead, postseason outlook, obviously chances of NCAA tournament bid are slim to none. I don't think it's really something that's in the minds of most Hoya fans, but just spitballing here, what are the chances of 4-0?
4-0, I think it's definitely the toughest scenario for us. I think that there's a very little chance of us going 4-0. In my mind, it's more likely for us to go 3-1, maybe even 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really going to depend on how we play Xavier. If we come out of Xavier with a morale high, then the other three games are going to be very good to watch. But if we, you know, if it's a rough game for us against Xavier, then our chances of going 4-0 obviously aren't going to happen, but even our chances of going 3-1, 2-2 all of a sudden get altered. So mm-hmm. I think that this Xavier game is going to be a pacer for us, and it's going to be a situation where we can see how they're going to respond to another ranked team and how they're going to respond to the intensity of the number 4 team in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you look, Georgetown is probably one of the toughest ends to their conference schedule. They have to play both Villanova and Xavier. You know, started easy, got to play St. John's and DePaul twice early. And, you know, that's just how the scheduling goes. I think it's unlikely they go 4-0. I think it's unlikely they make the tournament without a Big East tournament win, which would mean going through Nova or Xavier again. The good news is they are currently 15-10 with 4 games to go in the regular season, which leaves them with a winning record, which is already an improvement from the past 2 years. I think Georgetown fans are very content with that, are very happy with the way the team is ending the season. And hopefully there's an NIT bid in there, which I think would make for a very fun environment if the game were to be home at McDonough. People will get pretty excited about that. Yeah,
not only would it be fun, but I would add that it's the type of thing going forward into next year could provide these Hoyas with some very valuable experience, given that with the exception of Trey Dickerson and Ramon Hines, this Hoyas team is not really expected to lose anybody going into next year. So that added experience could really be of use to them. So that pretty much wraps it up. We're going to be looking forward to this Xavier game on Wednesday. But to close, starting with Errol, please let us know where we can follow you on the social media.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at It's Errol, ITSAIRHOLE.
You can follow me at Beth Janey, BETHJANIE, and follow at GU Voice Sports and at Halftime GU as well.
You can follow me at SantulN, SANTULN. Add to my prolific follower count. But yeah, certainly keep updated with @GUVoiceSports. Look out for our coverage of Wednesday's game against Xavier. And until then, go Hoyas.
See you guys.